Blog Talk Radio.
No, wrong one.
Wrong one. Wrong one. Wrong one.
Something he could take with him.
And it was the love, it was the song, it was the emotions of the season. Good music.
Yeah.
Not a downer by any stretch of the imagination. Umbertone. It is not. It's really strong music. It's really, really good. And it is a good counterpoint for the book that I'm reading right now.
Ah.
Thomas Paine, who, of course, wrote Common Sense and wrote The Rights of Man, both of which I've been, delving pretty heavily and deeply into, also wrote another piece when he thought he was going to die in France. And it was called The Age of Reason. And basically what it is, it's pretty much a takedown of Christianity. Cut out, rant. Just dissects the scriptures left, right, down, upside down, and backwards. He was called an atheist, a slimy little filthy atheist by Roosevelt many years after he died because of that book. And he was actually pretty much left to die in prison because people read the first draft of his Age of Reason and considered him to be of such ill repute because of it that everything that he wrote with Common Sense and how it fanned the flames of independence, the independence movement, was completely forgotten. Rather interesting points of view. I'm going to, before we get into everything else, I'm going to give short shrift, but nonetheless a note. Elizabeth Edwards passed today.
Yes, she did.
Speaking of the filthy little atheist, John Edwards, I'm not going to.
Yeah, okay.
She got handed a piece of crap, and she stood by him anyways. So she passed.
Yep.
Peace, Miss Edwards. To the other dirty little atheist, who, I saw two pictures of Obama somewhere over the weekend, and I had a picture of him while he was that haughty, chin up, looking off in the distance picture of him, and then a more recent one with him with his split lip, looking really, really haggard. I mean,
yeah.
Just looking like death warmed over.
Yep.
Nobody gets out of that position without gray hair. And
oh, boy.
His coming
yeah.
in, if I may say, in spades. He is definitely looking the worst to wear. And today's press conference suggests that he really needs a rest. A really long, long rest.
Rest. Well, a couple of years from now, he'll get that, huh?
I'm kind of hoping that he kind of starts now.
Yeah, well, that would be nice.
He will definitely, for the most part, start in about 5 weeks.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Because if given the current situation where he owns the Senate and the House and the presidency, the grand compromise that came out yesterday, today, indicates that this man has no capacity to lead at all. None. I mean, you and I have been talking about this for the better part of 2 years, the better part of three in a lot of ways, that he had no skill, no background, no experience in it.
None.
And he has spent most of the last 2 years proving that over and over and over again.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Yep.
But this grand compromise is, I mean, the left has finally gotten to the point where it's gone, okay, if we can't do anything with the House, the Senate, and the presidency, and somebody that is absolutely for our side, what exactly are we doing?
Exactly. Exactly.
The left is nuts. This compromise has just absolutely thrown them over the deep end.
After all of that talk about bipartisanship and all that kind of stuff, and as soon as they get hit with some kind of bipartisan compromise, they go apeshit.
I did go on to the Democratic Underground for a little while today. I have an account there, and I haven't used it in a while. And they are, I don't want to even go over to the Huffington Post because, I mean, you know, I would have to be wiping my monitor, you know, every second just to keep, you know, the spittle that is coming from the left from drowning, you know, the line.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, they're just, they have just lost it.
Yep.
And I think it's really funny because, you know, so it appears that, you know, Obama was there to do three things. End the wars, close Gitmo, get rid of the tax cuts. He didn't get rid of Gitmo. I thought they would just lose it about that. No,
mm-hmm.
he didn't. He actually increased Afghanistan. I thought they would lose it. No, they didn't.
Nope.
You know, Don't Ask, Don't Tell has been dragging now for 2 years.
Yep.
Didn't lose it.
Yep.
Tax cuts.
Yeah,
they've absolutely gone batshit nuts over tax cuts. And I'm sitting here thinking, going, you know, that was the nature of my post this morning where I said the left wants equality, except in taxation.
Yeah, right.
Then they want fairness.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Except in opportunity.
Yeah,
then they want quotas.
Yeah.
You know, the theme is, you know, what they want is has nothing to do with fairness or equality or opportunity. What they want is what they want.
Yeah. Yep.
I want.
You betcha.
And
well,
no, you didn't see it. Go ahead.
The thing that absolutely mystifies me, well, actually it doesn't mystify me, but the thing that jumps out at me is when it comes time to actually do something, as opposed to cram something down somebody's throat that has a very good chance of going away. But when it comes time to actually do something, they're again it. They got nothing going. And I would like to, for the record at least, correct this tax cut thing. This is not about cutting taxes. This is about maintaining the status quo as of today. This isn't about cutting anything. Now, I will give Obama credit for one thing, and he didn't come close, but he attempted to get to what you have advocated for a long time, and that is the Tracy Coyle remedy for the economic downturn we're in, the depression that we're in, which is get rid of all taxes, period, for a year. He attempted to do that with his 2% cut of FICA. And I'm saying, well, you know, that's really nice, except that that's the one program that's already in the red. So what are you doing? I mean, couldn't we have cut something else?
Well, the whole purpose of my reset,
yep,
you know, is not, well, it's, you know, to jumpstart the economy, yes, because getting rid of all federal, you know, collections, you know, puts a lot of money into people's pockets.
Oh, absolutely.
But the other side of that is to get rid of all the dead wood that's in the federal government now.
Yep.
You know, and that's the problem with his 2% reduction of the FICA tax.
Yeah.
Is it doesn't get rid of anything except for money coming in.
Exactly.
You know,
I know.
So what we have said for a long time is we don't have a revenue problem, we have a spending problem.
Yes, we
do. So what does Obama do? Well, hell, he reduces revenues.
Yeah. Right. But we aren't going to touch those sacred cow spending things. Oh, the other part of that is, to the tune of 56 billion with a B, is we just extended unemployment benefits by not 13 weeks, but 13 months.
Well, now let's talk about that, because there's an extremely large amount of confusion about this.
Hmm.
Took notes of it, and I spent a serious amount of time with it. Okay. The big deal about extending the unemployment was to save the 99ers that were running out of federal unemployment this month,
yep,
to the 700,000 people over the course of the month,
yep,
And to protect them for the holiday season. Here's the problem. This extension of the unemployment,
yeah,
does not extend the amount of federal tax or federal unemployment beyond 99 weeks. If you're a 99er and your federal benefits have run out, this program doesn't give you a penny.
Well, who does it apply to then?
Here's the deal. Last year, I think it was May or June, Congress agreed to extend federal benefits up to 99 weeks.
Yeah.
But that program was only authorized for 6 months.
Got a problem with that.
They have now authorized it for an additional 13 months, but they haven't changed the maximum amount of benefits payable from 99 weeks. It just means that for people that went unemployed this year,
mm-hmm,
and have only just started receiving their federal, they will continue to receive up to 99 weeks. That's it. So once you hit 99 weeks, you're done. This doesn't add any time to the 99 weeks.
I guess I am not understanding this program then.
That's
UI was supposedly extended for 13 months.
No. The program that allows you to obtain 99 weeks worth of unemployment has been extended for another 13 months.
Oh,
if
but
the
you
program,
still can't collect more than 99 weeks.
That's right. The maximum you can collect is 99 weeks, and that program, which extended it from 72 to 99,
yeah,
was going to end this month.
Okay.
So all they did was they kept it at 99 weeks for another 13 months. So the people that have hit 99 weeks,
they're just tough out of luck, huh?
This program doesn't give them a plug nickel.
Hmm.
So here's what Obama has done to the left, and this is part of the reason why the left is absolutely going batshit nuts, okay? Is he's given the Republicans their 2-year extension on the tax,
mm-hmm,
cut, and he hasn't gotten one nickel more for unemployment. People will still, this month, 750,000 people will run out of federal unemployment benefits, and this program doesn't do anything to change that.
Hmm.
This grand compromise doesn't do anything to change it. Obama has given the Republicans 2 years of quote tax cuts and gotten nothing in return. The only thing, you know what he's gotten in return? Is the reimposition of the death tax, but at a lower rate.
Yeah, 35% instead of 55%.
You know, the 2% FICA thing, you know, nobody was asking for that. Nobody was expecting that. Nobody knows where that came from.
Yeah.
Came
out of left field.
What Obama has given the grand compromise is they've given us a 2% tax, anybody that works, a 2% you know, tax cut is kept the tax rates for everybody at the same level for 2 years. He has allowed businesses to take as a deduction all of their business equipment and purchases instead of depreciating them, taking them as a flat-out deduction. And in return, he's gotten,
you know, that sounds kind of like the teleprompter, doesn't it?
That's 45%.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's all he's gotten out of
oh,
you know, giving all this stuff to the Republicans. And this is before the Republicans have actually taken over or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm telling you, I want to go into a game of poker with Obama.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to go into a negotiating table with Obama. Because I'm pretty certain that I'm coming out with everything I wanted and then some.
Yep.
And he's going to come out and strut like a peacock that he was a great negotiator.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it.
I don't understand it either. I will tell you this. I heard, a lot of years ago, that it is the business of leaders to lead. That's what they ought to do. And this guy is not. He just isn't. He is not a leader.
Not even close.
Not even close.
I know,
that's what happens when you don't vet somebody for this job.
I don't think I've said this, but he is devoid of any understanding of what leadership is. Forget having the qualities of leadership. I don't think he understands what it is. I think he thinks leadership is standing up and say, go.
Well, I mean, you know, his history would not indicate any qualities of leadership. He's never been out there. He's never been out front. Never been leading anybody. He's been one of those, actually probably tail end of the packs, that says, oh, okay, that's where we're going. All right, yep, that's good. Present.
Yeah, it is almost dumbfounding as to how little this man understands about what he's supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know,
I agree.
It is clear he thinks that he, as president, he can just come walking in and dictate how he wants the country to run.
Yeah.
And,
given the situation he found himself in, super majorities in both houses of Congress, holding the presidency, he should have been able to do that, theoretically.
Theoretically.
And he wasn't. I mean,
it is a misunderstanding of the left. It is clear. You know, I didn't understand this when they had so many problems with Bush. You know, but it is clear that they believe that the presidency is this all-powerful position.
Oh,
that,
Lord.
You know, whatever the president says, you know, the whole government jumps.
Mm-hmm.
And what they just needed was their guy in there so they can make the world jump the way they want it to.
Yep.
They got their guy in there, but there was no sense, no understanding that the presidency, you know, is in its entirety comprised of exactly one thing: the bully pulpit.
Yep. Absolutely.
And
he can cajole, he can talk to, he can wag his finger at, he can do a whole lot of things. But they all come down to persuasiveness.
Right. And, you know, Obama, you know, has, what is that phrase? What is that quote? Is, you know, many, but paraphrasing, you know, paragraphs and paragraphs and lines and words amounting to nothing.
Ah, signifying nothing, yes. Yep.
You know, he speaks and nothing comes out. There's no
yep.
ability to persuade because, you know, there's nothing of substance there. You know, you and I have said it, this guy is an empty suit.
Yes, he is.
And there's nothing there. It's just a whole lot of words thrown out there, you know, signifying nothing, meaning nothing. And if
yeah.
it means nothing, it signifies nothing, you know, it doesn't persuade. You know?
Well, and but you see, I think it seems to me that is the problem. And the problem is this. You know, his statement is, we didn't message it enough. Which translated says we didn't persuade enough people, and I think that he somehow believes that verbiosity is the equivalent of persuasion, but it isn't. Verbiosity is simply throwing words.
Right.
Persuasion is saying, here are the reasons, and this is why. And here's what we must do to get to that, and now we need to take action on that. And if you present your argument cogently, and you can persuade people that, yes, that's what we need to do, then that will happen, regardless of what party controls what house. Doesn't matter. What matters is, what is the public opinion? At this point, he's lost whatever vestige of public opinion he ever had in his corner. Well, except for that 20% of the diehards that believe the earth is flat also.
Yeah. I honestly believe he's lost them.
Could be.
Although,
71%, something like that, of Democrats say he's doing a good job.
I will wait until Friday. Let's see, today is Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, by Friday, new polls should be coming out that include today and yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking for that number to take a serious drop.
Well, yeah.
As soon as people realize, and it's going to take, people are already starting to pay attention to this, but it's going to take another day or two for people to realize that the unemployed are not getting another nickel. And when
well,
that happens...
Well, I didn't know that, yeah.
Yeah, when that happens, when everyone understands that the unemployed are not going to get another nickel and the people that are running out of federal benefits now are not getting anything additional, when that starts coming out, you know, I fully expect all hell to break loose.
Well, and
I mean, because,
so.
I mean, that was the whole thing. That was the whole carrot that everybody over the weekend had. Obama is going to use the extension of the tax cuts to get, you know, the 99ers,
mm-hmm.
more, you know, unemployment because we don't want them expiring this month during the holidays. Well, they are. They're going to. They are going to expire. 2 million people by the middle of next month, you know, are going to run out of federal benefits, and this doesn't change that. And, the Democrats are going to have to disown this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're going to have to. This agreement, let's talk about this agreement at this point. Uh-oh. I think I still have the dog outside.
What?
I think I left the dog outside.
Uh-oh.
The, Oh, no, he didn't. There he is. Okay. I'm safe. I wasn't being crazy. I'm tired. It's been a long week.
It's been a long week. Yep.
It's been a long month. It's been a really long year. Obama might be saying the same thing. He is, you know, I don't think there's anything left for him. I really don't. The left is going to have to disown this. The the GOP is in a whole shitload of trouble with a lot of people over this.
Mm-hmm.
This compromise did not make the Tea Party happy. I mean, I'm not altogether really happy because, I mean, there's nothing in here except for, you know, a whole lot of government spending and not a whole lot of government cutting back.
Yep.
You know, the 2% for FICA is, as I suggested, it is a reduction of revenue. It is not a reduction of spending. It is a reduction of revenue.
You know, the other question that I have about that, that's 2% for the consumer. Does that translate into 2% for the business also?
There's some question about which 2% that's coming out of. Whether it's 1% for both or 2% for the consumer or 2% for the business.
Hmm.
I haven't been able to find it. And I don't know that anybody else
has
either.
Not legislative language yet.
Right. So it says it's a 2% cut in the FICA, but it doesn't say, it says from 6.2 to 4.2, but that 6.2 is, you know, could be either side.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. You know, the thing that gave me the biggest kick out of this thing is Bernie Sanders, an avowed socialist, openly so, and a Jim DeMint, about as conservative as you want to get, both are vowing to filibuster this thing.
Yeah, I saw DeMint, you know, thing with today. He's just, yeah.
Strange,
you know,
bit
he's
fellow.
Not buying it.
Yeah.
He's not buying it.
Well, neither is Michelle Bachmann. She wasn't.
I heard that she was going to come out against it, but I did not get a chance to hear what she had said.
Well,
I mean,
in the House, it doesn't make any difference. She's got no ability to do anything other than be a bully pulpit. But Jim DeMint and Bernie Sanders both are saying, yeah, they're going to filibuster it. And I'm saying, well, okay, good luck, guys. Don't know what's going to happen there.
I don't see this. This is just going to be another nail in Obama's coffin.
Yep.
This is going to fail.
Good.
My opinion is that it's going to fail.
Okay.
And if it fails, it will be another failure on Obama's part to be able to get anything done, you know, in a way that can be, you know, made.
Yeah.
He's just,
I don't understand that political calculus, though. I mean, assume for a moment that it fails, either through the House or there's a successful filibuster in the Senate. And everybody understands nobody wants the tax rates to go up January 1st. And so if that's true, given the gains that the Republicans made in the House and the ones that they made in the Senate, it isn't clear to me what better deal anybody thinks is going to happen.
Well, from the Democrats have to propose this, put it in language, bring the bill to the floor, and get it passed. And by Thursday, I would suggest to you that a vast majority of the left wing is going to be buying tar and feathers and heading for Washington.
Yeah, you probably. I understand they shut the White House phones down.
If they
melted the lines.
If Pelosi even tries to bring this to the floor, you know, they'll lynch her. And I use that word specifically. They'll lynch her.
Oh yeah.
Well,
and she's already pretty much said that, you know, that's a non-starter for her.
So, this thing dies on the vine this week, in my opinion.
Hmm.
You know, I don't buy into it. First of all, the only thing that, the only reason that, you know, the tax, you know, the tax rate changes, you know, are fine and good, okay? You know, mm-hmm. I'd like to see those. You know, frankly, to be perfectly honest, I'd like to see an extension of the UE, a real extension of the UE.
Mm-hmm.
But I want it called what it really is, which is a new welfare program for people that are not working.
Yep.
Okay, yep. Let's quit calling it unemployed, just start calling it welfare.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then put it on the table. You know, go ahead and put down, you know, 150 weeks. You know, what's that, 3 years? Yeah, make it 106 weeks. Make it 3 years. You can live on the dole for 3 years. You know, let's just go ahead and call it what it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then do lots of other things that are associated with it. But there's no reason for, right now, my opinion is that there's nothing except for maintaining the tax rates that can be on the table that is worth anything to the Republicans. Obama has given nothing to the left and everything to the right. At this point, the Republicans should just let the left wing shut it down and then stand and say, you know, give us the tax rate that we want and just stand there and stare at him.
Yep. Yep.
Because he's already done it. With nothing to his side, but a whole lot of, you know, waving of the hands and, you know,
pissed off
attitude in the press conference.
Yeah. Yep.
I'd say let the left kill it and then just stand there and say, give us the tax, you know, make it permanent. You know,
yep.
There's no reason for them not to do it now. You know, I said this last week or the week before. If they're going to extend it 2 years, extend it to October 31st, 2012.
Yeah. Oh, you're evil, Tracy. Evil, I tell you.
You know, make them deal with it before the election. During the election, make them deal with it before the election 2012.
Yep, yep.
If that's all they're going to do is extend it. But at this particular point, the GOP is stupid. If it doesn't, just let it die and then stand in front of Obama and say, make it permanent or there's nothing for us to discuss.
Yep. Yep.
He's already given the extension and all kinds of other stuff and gotten nothing in return. So, you know, if the left wants to kill it, fine, let the left kill it.
Let them kill it.
There's no reason for the GOP to come back to the table except for it to ask for everything it wants.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is permanent. Make them permanent.
Yep.
And, you know, Obama's put himself in a position where he either, you know, gives in to the Republicans. Well, that's it. He has no choice. He has to give in to the Republicans. Or walk away from the table.
Boy, that would be tough. I mean, that would be tough. I would not want to be a Democrat if that were the choices that I had.
You know, Obama has the opportunity. The only benefit I see for him right now, he has nothing to give the Republicans. Nothing. He has no bargaining chips at all. He is, you know, here's our piece of paper, unconditional surrender. You know,
yeah, right.
Give it up.
Yep.
So to the Republicans, he has nothing. To the Democrats, he only has one choice. He has to let them hang in the wind. He has to. You know, because if he comes back to the Republicans with what the left wants,
mm-hmm.
You know, the Republicans can just walk out of the room. There's zero reason to compromise here. This isn't a party of no. This is a party of, oh, no.
Well, you know, and after what is it, November the 6th or whenever it is that the new House gets sworn in, the House can pass a revenue bill that includes the permanent extension of those, and then let the Dems either filibuster it in the Senate, or pass it and then let Obama veto it or not.
This compromise has turned a lame duck Democratic Congress into a lame duck administration.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing that is even more baffling to me, and I guess after 2 years it probably shouldn't be, but nevertheless it is. Harry Reid in the Senate, and remember that he is still going to be a majority leader, and yes, they still have gotten a majority in the Senate, is saying, oh gosh, next up on the agenda is the DREAM Act, followed by Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Nothing on taxes. Nothing. Not on the calendar. And it just, I don't understand that. I mean, here's his president saying, I got a deal. You guys need to push that through. And he's not anywhere close to that.
No.
And it just absolutely baffles me.
Well, you know, in my opinion, you know, Reid and Pelosi have got to understand that they're not, you know, they hitched their wagon to Obama, you know, because it was the only lame horse they could do.
True.
But I think at this point, you know, Reid has realized that that this horse can't pull the wagon at all. And he's
he's sure acting funny then. I mean, if he believes that that horse can't pull the wagon, then why isn't he doing something other than DREAM Act and Don't Ask, Don't Tell?
Because now he's only in it for him. This is nothing about the Democrats. This is nothing about the Senate. This is what, you know, will keep him raising money over the next 6 years to, you know, fend off the next attack, which is going to be just tsunami.
Oh yeah.
You know, he's going to need tens of millions of dollars in the bank to fend off a primary challenge. What we're going to after him, against him. He's got 6 years. And I think at this point, I think he believes that he's going to spend 4 years in the minority. So he now needs to do things that will, over the next 2 years, allow him to raise lots of money for himself. And then when he goes into the minority, he can just sit there and, either plan on retiring. He's getting old enough to do it.
Actually, he really is. There was an interesting thing that I read today. The GOP average age is much less than the Dem average age in both the House and the Senate. And while that isn't necessarily surprising to me, it did get me to thinking that, we've got young rising stars, and the Dems not so much. They've still got the gray beards, the ones holding on to power, the ones holding on to committee chairmanships and all that kind of stuff as well as they're able, at least in the Senate. But they got to be running out of steam. And that got me to thinking along the lines of who is going to better appeal to younger voters. Now that's a
nobody on the. There's nobody on the left.
Well, wouldn't think. I mean, not for folks who are paying attention anyway. So I don't know. This may be a blessing in disguise. It may be a situation that will lend itself to better government. I don't know. My hope is that we get constitutional government out of it. But who knows?
We've had the fun at Obama's and the left's expense.
Yes.
But let's now talk about GOP.
And that's going to be tough. I mean, there's a big difference between governing and taking pot shots.
Because for a lot of reasons, and DeMint is saying this, for a lot of reasons, and there's a lot of people that are pissed off about this compromise, for a lot of reasons, the GOP went into this negotiation with Obama and, went back to their old ways.
Do we know who those negotiators were?
I don't.
I don't think that I've heard.
But
who they were could very well tell us who needs to get primaried.
Of my particular point of view at this point is there was no reason for them to put in a temporary tax cut provision.
Right.
And what we have done is reduced revenue. And
yep.
Not, as far as they're talking about a 7/10 to 9/10 improvement in GDP because of the 2%, the devil's in the details there. I don't think it's going to have that kind of impact. What they have done is they have agreed to reduce the revenue of the government and not reduce the size of government.
Yes.
And that kind of compromise is not what they were sent in November to Congress to be doing.
Well, but remember that those people haven't taken their seats yet. I mean, so we're still dealing with the same old stuff here.
They're not really suggesting to me that the people that are still there go, well, they didn't really mean us to do that.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I'm suggesting that. I am suggesting that there is at least a portion of the GOP that didn't hear the message.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, great. Yep. There's absolutely no doubt that there's a whole lot of the establishment that didn't get the message at all.
Yep.
And right now they're in leadership positions, and they're
going to
remain in leadership positions come January.
Yep. Yep.
So you and I and the American Conservative Party are just in wonderful shape, in my opinion.
Yes, they are.
Because there's no indication right now that the leadership understood November at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And worse, they're going to continue to play games as usual. That's my opinion. That's my take on this compromise from the GOP side.
I think that that's going to be true in the Senate. I don't know that that's going to be true in the House. I think the House.
Who's
more clearly
complaining about some of the chairmanships? Who's complaining about some of the chairmanships being given to somebody?
The Energy and Finance Committee went to Upton. That's a real questionable call. Upton, you will remember, is the guy who decided that, we just couldn't live without curly lights. That's the one that I remember the most.
Yeah, there was two of them. I don't know. I'll have to look at it.
But some of these chairmanships that are being handed out in the House are not suggesting that they're changing at all. They're going to, old established, partisans that have no desire to change and are very much part of the establishment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I'm not seeing any significant change in the House.
Well,
I think
there are some. Daryl Issa is going to head up the, the government panel? Government
oversight?
Anyway, it's the one in charge of investigations.
Here's the problem. If you have an establishment that wants to negotiate with Obama, even though both of us, I think, agree at this point, and probably a whole lot of other people agree at this point, that Obama is no longer, a partner at the table. He may be a warm body at the table, but he's certainly not a partner at the table.
Oh, yeah, right.
So that means, they're going to say that the only way we can get anything through is to create a compromise position so we can get things through the Senate. And
I understand that argument. Don't necessarily agree with it, but I understand it.
I don't agree with it either. The idea, and I had this problem. I had this conversation with somebody last week, and I said, "So you're a pragmatist?"
Mm.
Well, no, I'm a conservative. Mm-hmm. No, you're a pragmatist.
Right.
What you want to do is you want to win.
Right. Yeah.
You want to do whatever it takes to win. Okay, well, we have a whole GOP establishment that just wants to do whatever it takes to win.
Right, exactly.
And whatever it takes to win is to, meet the left halfway from the halfway point to halfway to where the left wants to be.
Exactly. Yep. Yep.
And
I understand.
I'm not seeing it.
Well, it's a funny business in more ways than one, and as far as the House is concerned, not the Senate. But as far as the House is concerned, I think I'm going to do a wait and see here, and see just what starts to go down when those 66, 62, 63, whatever it is, newcomers come on in and start saying, well, wait a second here, folks. We need to be true to our roots here, and we need to dance with who brung us and see where that goes. And that's why I was kind of interested in who was it that was doing the negotiating with Obama on these tax cuts. If it was the old guard, they did pretty good. If it was the younger guys who are more in tune with the Tea Party, with We the People, with all of that kind of stuff, then they didn't do real great at all. So it makes a difference, I think.
I know.
No?
Okay. If they didn't get the message in November, then, playing the game.
Oh,
that,
come on. John Cornyn, you actually think John Cornyn got the message? Or Mitch McConnell got the message?
No,
he didn't get any
not.
Message.
I, that's why I'm convinced that the GOP has nothing going for it at this point, except for more of this bullshit. And as we get into next year, we're going to find out just how little Congress has changed, how little the House has changed.
Really?
I think what we're going to have is lots and lots of hand-waving, lots and lots of screaming and yelling at each other, and lots of nothing happening.
Well, Tracy, your cynicism may be accurate. That may come to pass. I'm willing to give, not the Senate, but I am willing to give the House a break until I see what they do. And say, okay, guys, show me. I'm from Missouri, show me.
And
y'all talk a great game, but now you got it to do.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that we just saw the tell.
Yeah, maybe. Again, it depends on who was on the negotiating team.
Okay, let's talk about, we've only got a couple minutes, and there's only one more.
If we only have a couple of minutes, then I need to get this in.
Okay, go ahead.
Today is December the 7th, 2010.
Sir.
69 years ago was Pearl Harbor. And it's time to stand up, take off your hat, and salute that generation. And those people who, whether they gave their life or not, defended the United States of America. And my hat's off to you.
Standing up, hats off.
Yep. Yep.
Over heart. Thank God.
Oh, man.
From this atheist.
Yep.
Agnostic. I'm being influenced here. Payne was not an atheist. Definitely a deist. Anyways,
yeah.
No, I mean, you know, for whatever reasons people stand up for their country, stand up for what is right.
Yeah.
You know, we have to honor that.
Absolutely.
You know, there is, you know, somebody saying, "Can I pray for you?" And I'm like, "Certainly."
Yeah.
I don't have any objection to that. You know, and that comes back down to this idea. There's a lot more Christmas going on this year than holiday seasons.
Yep.
You know,
absolutely.
And of course, lots of people are still bent out of shape. It's not Christmas. It's gonna be Christmas Eve. You can't make you leaving me out. Crap. You know, it's Christmas, people.
Yep.
You know,
that's right.
And,
get over
it. As Victoria has said, she goes, "I don't understand how you can support me and not agree with me." You know, I can support, you know, for years I have sat in church because I support her in her beliefs.
Yep.
Don't agree with them.
Yeah.
I can still support them.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so, you know, I don't have to be Christian to enjoy Christianity, nor do I have to be Christian to enjoy and honor, you know, things like Kiri.
Exactly.
You know, it is, damn, people, damn, you know, what the hell, you know, your choices are pretty slim,
yeah,
you know,
really?
Venezuela, you know, Cuba, you know, Iran, you know, and see what horrible nightmares, you know, can exist that don't have a breath in this country, not a breath in this country.
I know.
Anyways. We've got 2 minutes. Say your byes, because what we're going to do is I'm going to go ahead and put Kiri on at the end. And it's 4 minutes long, and we've only got 2 minutes left. So
there you go.
Do your thing.
Okay,
we'll
so Mama Gurkha, Arkansas Traveler, Louisa Ma, Hallie Five, Just Me Pammy, thank you much for listening in. We certainly appreciate it.
And we're going to enjoy this holiday season. So if anybody has an idea for Christmas music, I'm all for it. But I want something that's not Jingle Bells, you know.
Yep.
Give me something that's interesting.
Real Christmas.
William, we will talk in the green room shortly.
Okay.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. Back over the land, a gift for
there.
Yep.
And in the green room.
Yep.
I have to get some more music like that. Just good stuff.
That is good.
Four minutes is a little bit long. Pushing kind of the envelope there on commercial music on Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, really.
But it's good stuff, and I'm all willing for having that even in the middle of the show, for the next couple of weeks.
Sure.
The let's see, today is the 7th.
Yes.
We've got two more shows before Christmas.
Yep.
For those that listen to the podcast, Victoria has not had surgery yet.
Ooh.
They played all kinds of games with us. We thought it was going to be last Thursday. And then last Thursday came, and in the afternoon they said, well, the consent we wanted you to sign had nothing to do about surgery. It was just so that somebody else could come look to you, and we were all pissed off. 2 hours later, the other person showed up, and then 2 hours after that, they said, surgery's tomorrow. And Victoria went, no. Yeah, she had gotten herself all worked up for having it on Thursday, and when that didn't happen, short sheet her, made her really, really anxious and really nervous, and she said no.
Yeah.
So she pulled the plug on it, and they haven't rescheduled it. It has to be done, but be that as it may, we'll see what happens. So she will be in the hospital for her birthday, which is the 29th. CJ's birthday, which is the 23rd, and for Christmas. She is not a happy camper.
Not a bit.
So we're going to have to try and do some things for Christmas and birthdays in the hospital. Not exactly the best of things. So
Not exactly.
We got through Thanksgiving, but birthdays and Christmas are an entirely different matter.
Yep. Absolutely.
So.
Yep.
Your wife is on the mend.
Yes.
That's good. Business here is actually picking up a little bit, which is a little bit strange.
Oh, yeah?
For December. Not that I'm complaining.
Yeah, well, I mean, it doesn't usually happen. Oh, that's right. You told me it was pretty cyclical.
Right. After Thanksgiving, things tend to get really quiet in bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Until everybody spends all their whatever remaining monies they have over the holiday, for Christmas and such.
Mm-hmm.
We get a big flood once the bills start coming in January, people start coming back out of the woodwork. So that's a normal thing for us. But it looks like it's going to stay pretty strong through December, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
And January or November finished up pretty strong, so we're in pretty good shape here, which is good.
Good.
The weather, of course, is still nice here.
Yes,
it's 74
course.
Degrees today.
Oh, boy. Well, that sure the heck beats my 48, huh?
It certainly beats Madison's snow this week.
Yes, it does.
The weekend they got like 4 inches of snow.
Oh, man. Neener, neener, neener.
No, I'm just okay.
Yep.
I'm not going to complain too much about it.
Nope.
I had hoped to have my book ready by the end of the year.
But?
It's not going to be ready.
Okay.
I've been working a lot on it. A lot.
Yeah.
All right. But I've only gotten the first two sections done, and of course, for you, I think you knew, but I don't know if anybody else knew. I got kicked off redstate.com a couple weeks ago.
Yes. Heard that.
Apparently, my positions are a little bit too extreme. For them. Anyways, there was a large portion of this book was a part of a conversation that went on at Redstate. And
uh-huh.
So I had to yank it out and do a pretty massive rewrite of an entire section of the book simply because that was gone. I've pretty much gotten that rewrite done, but what I had hoped to get done over the last 2 months hasn't been done yet. Because I've been
dealing with the rewrite. Why would you have to pull that out? I mean, it was your conversation, right?
Well, it was my conversation with several other people.
Yeah.
So... while I've kept a fair amount of what my stuff was in there,
mm-hmm.
most of my stuff was very conversational. And so it's a little bit less readable in a book form. taking the conversations out, it's a little bit less readable. So
yeah.
I've taken a pretty, you know, big knife to it to do some stuff out of it. You know what? In the end, I think it's going to be better because it's out.
Yeah.
I'm not too worried about that. But
okay.
I'm trying not to let pain influence me too much.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. That's fine.
You know, I'm sticking with you know, Payne's got some good stuff in there, and I'm going to stay with it, but I'm going to stay up to, you know, his common sense and right demand up to the revolution, not pretty much beyond that point.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting is CJ is heavily into the Enlightenment and the revolution because she's doing European history at this point. So
a lot
of what's going on is being, we're talking about, is part of what I'm talking about in the book.
Yep.
So,
Just as an aside about Red State,
yeah.
Eric is kind of going little green footballs. He has banned any birthers and any truthers, or at least those who are and express their thoughts. And apparently, he's banning other people for whatever viewpoints they hold also. And I'm frankly a little disappointed.
If you're not pro-life, if you're not anti-gay marriage, if you are for the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, Red State is becoming considerably less friendly. So, and I don't use this term lightly, given the fact that my blog is called the moderate mainstream.
Yeah.
those type of social positions are very much in the mainstream. You know, only when you state are you opposed to abortion as contraception, do you get a plurality opposed to it. You know, when you just ask, you know, are you for or against abortion? The plurality of Americans at this point continues to be for it. It is a small plurality, 52%, 53%. And the younger people are beginning to be less for it, which is fine. Frankly, I think the more younger people oppose, in general, abortion, the fewer abortions we'll have.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, I think, is a good thing. I'm all for fewer abortions. You know, there are too many of them, and they're unnecessary in a lot of ways. So for that, I'm there. But, you know, lots of people don't have a problem with gay marriage, and, you know, people really took aim at that survey and called lots of pieces into question, but that survey still stands. Military in general has no problem with Don't Ask, Don't Tell being repealed.
My problem is actually a couple-fold. One, the way and the forum in which the questions were asked. And two, when you get out to the pointy end of the stick, that number reverses.
Correct. And, you know, there's not going to be a whole lot of doubt in most people's minds that, you know, at the frontline combat points, you know, they don't want anything that's going to even remotely disrupt, you know, unit cohesion. I understand that. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to be perfectly frank, I would suggest to you that 50 or 60% of the gay people that want to serve in the military are not interested in being at the pointy end of the stick.
Mm.
You know, they want to serve their country. They want to do something there. But, you know, getting shot at is not something that they necessarily want to do.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that there are
other avenues open if they want to serve their country. And that's about
true.
As far as I go.
So, I mean, you know, for a lot of reasons, Red State is becoming, you know, quite socially conservative. I understand that.
and it's always been a strong social conservative site.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right; they were much more open towards having a range of ideas, even if they disagreed with them.
Right.
That open-mindedness has begun to shift. I have not been there since I've been off. You know, you may be seeing some things more than I did at the time.
I got off a red state probably 6 months ago, and haven't been back since. And in fact, I don't even click on their links if I know that they're their links. As far as I'm concerned, Eric blew it. When he was willing to let the commenters deal with whatever ideas that got expressed that they disagreed with, I was fine with that. Great. It's a great pot to stir things around in. But when he came out and he made his announcement that if you expressed a viewpoint supportive of birthers, then you are going to be banned. I said, you know what? You don't have to ban me. I just deleted you. I'm gone.
Yeah, I'm not interested in the concept of a big tent.
No, absolutely not.
Because, you don't need to have a big tent. What you do need to do is you do have to have a marketplace of ideas.
Absolutely.
And if you've decided that certain ideas are not going to be allowed in the marketplace, then what you have done is you have, enclosed your little city in walls.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's not what...
I mean, if your
Liberty,
viewpoint isn't strong enough to combat those other viewpoints, then maybe you ought to take a look at where you're coming from.
Right.
Yeah.
Always been my position, and you know I've done it. I don't back down from a fight, no sides.
Me either.
I don't back down from a fight, and,
yep.
I'll hold my ground and my positions, against all takers.
Yep.
But if you don't want to do that, that's fine. You want to get into the name calling, which is what happened the last one.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get
mm-hmm.
into the name calling or the shut down, sit down and shut up, bullshit.
Yeah.
Not gonna buy it. So.
Nah, me either. Me either.
All
and
right.
Besides,
so,
I've got a whole lot of other blogs I can read besides that.
Yeah.
And do. I have probably 12 of them or so that I read regularly, every damn day. Anyway.
12?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29.
Cool.
29 in my reader.
Cool. And you read every article?
I read, yeah.
Cool. Good for you.
Yeah. There's one or two that I would suggest to you that on occasion I don't read every one of their articles. I mean, I've got one of the people that I read is called Contrary Brain. It's a science fiction author who speaks occasionally on politics.
Mm-hmm.
I read his stuff on politics, and I read his stuff on the process of writing, but I don't necessarily read his stuff on reviews of other books.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So
I tend not to read reviews of books.
Either
the title or the author grabs me or it doesn't, one or the other.
I have TechCrunch on, and I don't read all the articles on funding. I read... which type of business are being funded, but I don't read the big press releases that this company got $5 million from this.
Yeah, right. Thank you.
I'm interested in hearing the story of the business to see what's going on, but
mm-hmm.
press release about the money I don't care about.
Yeah, not so much. Not so much. Yep.
Generally speaking, the answer is yes. 29 blogs, I read them all, you know, basically every day.
Yep. Yep, yep.
Takes me a couple of hours.
Yep. Yes, it does.
And I do it in the morning. I do some in the morning. I do some in the evening. You know, but
Yep.
So, all right.
Yep. Okay, kiddo.
I'm heading up to the hospital, and I will talk to you during the weekend, or if not, next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. Give my regards to V and CJ.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Everyone else, have a good weekend. Have a good week, and let's continue to watch the left implode.
There you go.
Boy, are they imploding.
Are they imploding. All righty. Night, Tracy.
All right. Good night, everybody.